That's your friend John Walden again. I hope I can call myself your friend. I want to be a friend to you, and I want to be a help to you. We're studying in the book of Hebrews, and we've arrived at chapter 5. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Now, the high priest he's talking about here would be Aaron, and then his son, grandson, great-grandson, that whole line of Old Testament Jewish priests. The Lord Jesus, we saw in chapter 1 of Hebrews, is much better than the angels. Don't let anyone tell you that he was a created angel, and he was such a good angel that God let him be his son. That's not true. The Lord Jesus is the eternal Son of the eternal Father and the divine Creator. He is better than the angels. Chapter 2, he is better than Moses, and now he is better than Aaron. Now, in what way is he better? He offers gifts and sacrifices for sins. Well, he offers a better sacrifice. In the Old Testament, Aaron brought the blood of animals, which never put away sin. The 10th chapter of Hebrews tells us no sin was ever put away. That's why they had to continually offer them. But the Lord Jesus has offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down. The Lord Jesus offered himself without spot to God. And then the Old Testament priests, we're told in verses 2 and 3, were compassed with infirmity themselves, and they had to offer sacrifices for the people, so also for themselves. Aaron had to bring sacrifice for his own sins, and our Lord Jesus had no sin. A sinful priest could never make the people perfect, could never bring the people into right relationship with God. You remember that? A sinful priest can never bring you to God. But the Lord Jesus is our sinless high priest. Now, just as the Old Testament priests were offering sacrifices for sin and gifts, offerings to God, so the Lord Jesus brings both to God. First of all, he brought a sacrifice for sin. He offered the only acceptable sacrifice. Old Testament sacrifices, the blood of bulls and goats, we're told, could not put away sin. They merely covered over sin. And that's the word for atonement, as used in the Old Testament. It's the word cover, the Hebrew word kafar, from which we get our word cover. And so Old Testament sins were covered until the Lord Jesus came and put them away. And when Christ died on the cross, he died for the sins of Abel, as well as for the sins of people who are living in our day. He put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Therefore, there's no repetition of sacrifice. There's no such thing as offering a new sacrifice every morning or a new sacrifice every year. That's not taught in the New Testament. That's a denial of the finished work of Christ. But the Lord Jesus is offering up gifts now. And we as his people can bring to him gifts that he says are acceptable, which he can present before the Father. Now, the Old Testament priests were sinners, but our Lord Jesus is a perfect one. How wonderful to be accepted in the Beloved One, to be accepted in the Perfect One. And the Savior was made a priest, we're told in verses 5 and 6, not by his own decision, but Christ glorified him not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my Son, today have I begotten thee, as he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. So the Lord Jesus was made a priest by his Father. The Lord Jesus is prophet, priest, and king. All three of these offices are fulfilled in the Lord Jesus himself. In the Old Testament, men were ordained to these different works, these different offices. And each of them was ordained by the pouring of oil upon their head. David was ordained a king. Samuel was ordained a prophet. Aaron was ordained a priest. The Lord Jesus is all three. The first chapter of Hebrews tells us that he is the prophet, the last prophet, the last word of God to this world. Now we're told that he is a priest, and in the future day he's coming back to be king. He was rejected as the king, but he's still coming to reign as the king. In the end of verse 6, where he says, "Our priest forever after the order of Melchizedek," he is referring us back to the 14th chapter of Genesis. Now, we won't say much about Melchizedek just now, but in chapters to come, we'll be studying from the book of Hebrews about Melchizedek. I suggest that you read Genesis 14 and learn a little bit about this historical character, and then turn to the 110th Psalm and see the prophecy about him. Verse 4 of the 110th Psalm is what is quoted in verse 6 of our chapter. The Lord Jesus is made a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now, in preparation for his becoming a priest, we're told in verse 8, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered." And the word "learn" here means to experience. Now, the Lord Jesus, being God, knew everything. But he had to experience these things in order to be able to help us. And so he learned by experience what he already knew by deity. And he learned these things by suffering. Maybe I'm talking to some Christian who is suffering, and you wonder, why do I have to suffer? Is it because I've been bad? Well, if the Lord shows you that there's something in your life that is not right, of course you'll want to confess that and have it put away. But it isn't necessarily punishment for sins that you suffer. Sometimes people suffer because this is God's best way of educating us, of teaching us. And the Lord Jesus, we're told, offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears. That's in verse 7. Now, he went through these things. He knew what it was to have a very troubled and sad life. There were many things in the life of the Lord Jesus that we don't know yet that he went through. But he did all this in order that he might learn obedience by experience. And so in verse 9 we're told, "And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." Being made perfect here, of course, does not mean that he was imperfect before, but it means that he became mature through experience. The word "perfect" in the New Testament often means mature, full-grown. And so the Lord Jesus became a mature person in experience by going through all of these things. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. Is that the kind of salvation you have? Or do you have some kind of salvation that's very temporary, just as long as you hold out faithful? Now think it through a little bit. I didn't write this book, and I'm not going to change it. He is the author of eternal salvation. The Lord Jesus completed the work at Calvary, and he said, "It is finished." He's the author. He's not a co-author with you. It's not his work plus yours. It's his work as it stands alone. Well, he says from verse 11 on to the end of the chapter that there are many things that he would like to say about the Lord Jesus, but they're hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. "You ought to be teachers," he says in verse 12, "but you'll become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. You ought to be teachers, but you're babies. Everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even to them who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Now the Lord wants us to grow up. When you were born into God's family, you became one of God's children, a babe in Christ. 1 Peter 2 says, "As newborn babes, you should desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby." The milk would be the simple things of the Bible. And so if you are just a new Christian, you may not be able to get all that we're talking about here in Hebrews, but you just take what you can and drink in the milk of the Word, the simple things, and then you'll develop to where you can take in the more, the deeper things, the more meaty things of Scripture. I remember this, that there has to be life first. One of the saddest sights I ever saw was a monkey trying to feed her little baby who was dead. And she would shake it, and then she'd moan and cry and try to get that baby to eat. And she didn't understand. That baby was dead. She never did get it to eat. And there are some church members, and they just don't take anything from the Word. They're not interested in the Word. They don't care about it. They're not hungry for it. The reason is that they're dead. Dead to God. Dead in trespasses and sins. Now you make sure that you have eternal life. Every believer in the Lord Jesus has eternal life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that ye have eternal life. And if you've been born into God's family, then you ought to begin to grow. Don't try to grow into this. Make sure that you're born into God's family, and then God has means provided for our development and growth. I've mentioned one already, feeding on the milk of the Word and then on the meat of the Word. Another is breathing the fresh air of prayer. This world is full of stagnation and smoke. Get into the pure air of the presence of God and breathe deeply. And then there ought to be proper elimination. That's putting away the things in our lives that are not right. Daily confession of sins. Putting away the things that hinder us. And then there ought to be exercise. God wants us to, as he says here, our senses exercised. He wants us to develop our spiritual muscle by using what he has given us. As Christians, we have certain jobs to do day by day so that we can grow and develop, and then you'll be able to appreciate these deep things that we're studying here in this wonderful book of Hebrews. Shall we just bow in prayer and give thanks to God? Our God and Father, we thank thee for thy dear Son, thy best gift, and we thank thee for thy Word, through means of which we can come to know him and know thee. And now we pray that thou wilt bless everyone who has heard thy word just now. We ask that those who are not saved might trust our Savior very soon. In his name, amen.